Welcome to Fabulous After 50, the podcast for women wanting to make the most of their lives. My name is Julie Kennedy, and I am your host. So, today with me, I have the wonderful Sora Vernikoff, no diet coach and author of the bestseller, Eat What You Want, Stop When You Want, a no diet weight loss program. Right, the name says it all already. You can imagine that I was intrigued. And Sora, in her books, explains also how over 20 years, she healed herself of compulsive overeating by transferring her classroom management techniques to food management techniques. So Sora taught really challenged kids in East New York, in Brooklyn, and then developed an easy-to-use, no-diet weight loss system that she has gone on to teach to hundreds of unhappy dieters. So very, very big welcome to you, Sora. Before we get into the topic that I'm really dying to pick your brains on, can you maybe start with a brief summary of who you are and why you do what you do?
Well, first of all, Julie, let me just say it's a pleasure for a New Yorker to talk to a gal from Holland. I'm really excited to share my work and my love of what I do. So my name is Sora Vernikoff. I was born in Brooklyn. And I sat in the kitchen most of my time in Brooklyn. My mother was an amazing cook, and I raided the refrigerator always. And she'd send me out for a $60 order to the supermarket, and by the next day, there was nothing left. So I was always using food to comfort myself. Right. But what happened was, as time went on, I always wanted to be an educator. I love kids, and I wanted my own blackboard. Yeah, I always wanted my own blackboard. I love kids. I figured I'd like to be a teacher. So I lived in Brooklyn, and they placed me in a very, very bad school in a very bad place in Brooklyn. Very difficult. And at the same time that I was teaching, I was dieting and losing the weight, and then I would regain it. And I did that many times, and I did everything perfectly. I measured everything. I weighed everything. And even back then, which is a long time ago, I even journaled everything I ate. I'm very big on journaling and keeping records. So what happened was one day, and this is when my life changed. One day I looked out at my 35 fourth graders, who are really not very nice children. And I said, how come, Sora, these kids who walk, talk, and some throw chairs, they listen to you now. But food has no animate qualities. It sits on the table. It sits in the refrigerator. It sits in the closet. But you can't stop thinking about food, and you can't stop eating. That was my aha moment. These tough kids listen to me, and food doesn't walk or talk, and it doesn't listen to me. What's going on? Well, I had an idea at that moment. Sora, you're going to stop dieting. You're going to eat any food you want, but there's a caveat. And the caveat is you have to journal every thought before, during, and after you eat to see why you think about food all day.
Okay.
Well, being a glutton for punishment, I did that. To this day, decades later, I still journal every piece of food I put in my mouth just to monitor myself.
Yeah.
But back then, I wrote notebooks. I have a storage near Chinatown with all my notebooks back decades. Okay? I saw the problem. And the problem was that the reason I couldn't eat and stop was no matter how much I ate, nothing was ever enough.
Right.
So all of a sudden, another light went on. And when I reached my goal of losing 25 pounds, which I've kept off for over 20 years, way, way over, I knew that I could transfer my classroom management techniques to food management techniques. And I developed an easy to use, eat and stop yourself, no diet weight loss program that lets you know when you're going to stop eating before your first bite.
Right. Okay. Well, this sounds like absolutely music to my ears. I mean, I don't know if I classify as a compulsive eater, but like many women, you know, we do seem to spend most of our lives anguishing about weight dieting and calorie counting and feeling guilt. And then, of course, you know, we're talking about the Fabulous After 50 group here. Then even when you are being careful, there's that dreaded midlife spread, which seems to continue whatever we do. I mean, we women in particular,
seem to have a very complicated relationship with both food and our bodies. So when you came up with a title like yours, which is, I will remind the audience, eat more pizza and chocolate and lose weight, I suddenly thought, oh, okay. So it doesn't need to be that way. And since it seems pretty clear, you know, I mean, diets don't work, do they? I mean, so can you help us, you know, why do diets not work? And more importantly, what can we do to be, as you say, I mean, I thought your image of, you know, the fact that you could control this group of pretty rough, unruly children who move and who throw chairs and who swear and who whatever, you could control them, but you couldn't control that food, which, as you say, doesn't eat, it doesn't speak, it doesn't say to you, eat me now, it doesn't hold a knife to your throat, but we cannot control ourselves. So please let me know, what exactly did you do and why did it work and why do these diets not work?
Okay, so chapter one of my book, because I always, you know, as an educator, I really believe in starting with the basics. So before I shared the new paradigm for weight loss that I've created, I think it's important to understand why I know that diets don't work. First of all, before I explain to your listener exactly why they, I would just want to say two things. If diets worked, why would there be so many? Okay.
True.
Okay. And that's number one. And number two, statistics show that 97% of folks that diet regain the weight within 3 years.
True. I think most of us know that for ourselves, right?
Why don't diets work? Here is the trumpet roll on why diets don't work. I want everyone that's listening to think about what a clock looks like. And let's start at 12 o'clock. At 12 o'clock, you're unhappy. You know, you're getting married. You want to buy a new dress. You know, you have a new boyfriend. You feel you want to look better. You want to take a cruise and buy new clothes. You've got to lose some weight. Oh, my God. So you say, okay, what diet should I go on? So you go on this diet that is developed probably by four people in a corporate boardroom who decide what you're capable of, you know, like a nutritionist, a therapist, whatever. And they decide for you how much to eat, what to eat, and what time of the day to eat. Because after all, they say to you, you can't trust yourself. So you've come to us. Okay. Right. Now, you know what happened to the kids in the fairy tale Pied Piper of Hamelin, when they follow the guide down to the river, they all drown. Well, it's the same thing with the diet. So now we start at 12 o'clock. Yay, I'm going to lose weight. Da, da, da. You pick a diet. So let's go to 3 o'clock on the clock. Right. 3 o'clock, you've been good, good, good. I've been on this diet. I'm following their rules. I think I even maybe lost a pound or two. But it's a day later, a week later, whatever you can tolerate. And all of a sudden, okay, so you're good, good, good. That gives us high self-esteem that we're good. Wait, we're good following someone else's rules up at 12 o'clock. Okay, that's the problem. Now let's get to 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, you go, you know, I can't take this. I just can't take it. I want one more piece of bread, one more piece of cheese, and 3 Oreos, and I promise I'll go back on the diet.
Sounds so familiar.
So what do? You get the bag of Oreos, you put your hand in, only the next time you look down, there's no Oreos left in the bag. You get the bread and the cheese, you make not one slice and one piece of cheese, but a sandwich and a half. Okay.
Right.
Now you just go in your mouth, chewing away. Well, here's the good news that I'm so happy. I want everyone listening to put their arms around themselves and give themselves a big hug, because actually you did the only thing you could do, guys, to regain the control from the diet at 12 o'clock. Since, okay?
True.
You were feeling deprivation. You weren't eating what you really wanted. And at 6 o'clock, you said, I've had enough. You don't say it that way. You just go one cookie until 20 are gone.
Yeah.
So, okay. Now you're in control. You're actually in control when you binged on the diet, because you took the control away from the diet. But it's a catch-22 behavior, because the very act of taking back the control from the diet, which is overeating or over binging on the diet, you also then go, look what I just did. Look, proof that I cannot do this. I am worthless. Because I cannot follow the rules at 12 o'clock of the four people in the corporate boardroom that promised me if I followed the rules, I'd lose weight. So what do? Let's go to 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock, you go, well, I'm useless. I can't trust myself. I better go back to that diet at 12 o'clock. So you go back to the diet, knowing full well in the back of your mind, there's another binge on the way. And yeah. That's why diets don't work, Julie, because they're not your rules. And they're based in deprivation. So yes. How long can you be deprived and follow someone else's rules? You know, that's why diets don't work.
Yeah, I mean, we know that, right? I mean, I don't have an unhealthy diet, but I mean, I yo-yo constantly. You know, I decide that, you know, especially now midlife where stuff seems to be coming on without me actually doing that much, but still, you know, then I'll deprive myself, as you say. I'll look up and, you know, and I'll hold a week or 2 weeks. Here we are in the south of France at the moment, and I'm like, I want bread, you know, I want some nice brown bread, and I want some nice comté or some nice, you know, French cheese. And for goodness sake, you know, we're in COVID. I haven't been out of the country of Holland for ages. Why on earth am I, you know, doing this to myself? But then, of course, I feel guilty and angry, and I hate myself.
But Julie, look at the power, but look at it another way also. Look at the power that you're giving the bread over your life. Yeah. That you've made the bread your enemy, yeah. You see, because anytime you hold, Julie, and anytime you go no, you're giving that power away. Yeah. So what the program I developed allows you to make peace with all food, because in my eyes, all food is equal in the eyes of the law. It's just, can you eat and stop? So, right. You know, that's it.
Right. Well, OK, I'm totally on the same line as you. I don't think I've ever heard anybody put it in this way before. So, I mean, I'm really impressed with, you know, you've taken something that happened to you and have made something good out of it and are now sharing that with others. I mean, I know deep in my heart how right you are. And all the times that I've had an ideal weight has been when I've been giving food no thought. I just go through my life. I'm doing things and et cetera. And I'm not constantly thinking, okay, what can I eat now? And if I'm being good, you know, can I have this or can I have that? Or as you say, the power of that piece of bread.
Really, it's far beyond food, because look what you just said. You said, you're equating your relationship with food with your self-worth. Am I being good? Mm. Am I being bad? So you're giving food so much power. And yeah. I choose to give food no power. Right. See, what I stand for is taking back the power from the food and owning your own power over the food.
So how do we do that?
Okay, that's the magic. So I'm going to share with you and your listeners how to do that. So what I'm going to do, there are two techniques in this Eat and Stop Yourself program. When I'm going to teach your listeners how to use there's the green technique and the red technique, which is actually on the cover of my book. I have a traffic light with two mouths on it. One is green, it says eat, and one is red and it says stop.
Okay.
So I'm going to teach your listeners how to eat any food they want, including you, Julie, how to eat any food you want any time of the day and know when you're going to stop eating before your first bite. So let's use your food as an example. So what food is it hard for you to stop?
Stuff like bread and cheese or nuts, things like that.
Okay, so give me a specific cheese or a specific bread.
Well, just like nice thick brown bread. It's actually very healthy bread, but I don't know how to stop when I start.
So I'm going to teach you how to use the green technique, how to eat and stop. Now, I'd like all of your listeners to pick the food in their minds that they have the biggest problem to eat and stop. And I'm going to use Julie as an example, so how she can eat and stop when she has her brown bread. So Julie has her brown bread in front of her. Before Julie can have her brown bread, she has to ask herself two questions. Julie has to ask herself, while looking at the brown bread, how much is enough and how much is too much? So Julie and everyone listening, look at the food in front of them and ask yourself, how much is enough and how much is too much? So Julie, how much of that brown bread is enough and how much is too much?
Well, I would say two is enough, two slices. It's big, thick brown bread. So two slices are enough. And anything over that is too much then.
Julie has decided that two slices of bread is enough. So now, Julie, I want you to look at those two slices of bread. And I want you to ask yourself, of those two slices of bread that you decided were enough, how much is too much? What would you say?
One.
You would say one. That's very interesting. Watch what you just said. Watch. So you first decided when you took the bread, two slices were enough. Now you asked yourself again, because you took it out of a bag, I'm assuming, or a bowl. Now the two slices are in front of Julie. She's again asked herself, how much is enough? How much is too much? Julie just decided that one slice is enough. So what Julie's going to do, and I want you, and I want all the listeners to do this, I want you to decide how much of the food that's your tormentor is enough and how much is too much. Julie, I want you to move aside the second piece of bread that you decided was too much. I want you to separate it from the piece of bread that was enough. Now Julie has two pieces of bread in front of her. She has one amount that she decided was enough, just like you listeners have one amount that you decided was enough. And now Julie has one slice of bread that she moved away physically, that she decided was too much. I want all the listeners to physically pretend to move away the amount that's too much. So now Julie has two amounts in front of her. She has the enough amount, and she has what we call in the program the marker. All right. Julie, I want you to eat this you decided was enough, and all your listeners to pretend to eat the amount that they decided was enough. Let's take a pretend moment and let's eat the amount that you decided was enough. Awesome. But Julie, you may not eat the marker because the marker is your I can eat and stop myself helper. The marker lets you know that the amount that you ate was enough and that you could stop yourself. Right. Okay? I want all of you listeners to pretend to eat the amount that you decided was enough, but not the marker, the amount you pushed away. Now, Julie might say to me, but hey, Sora, listen, you know, I just had my slice of bread. I used your technique, but I want some more. So Julie is going to take her second piece, but all the work is done before you eat. You have to ask yourself when you look at the marker, how much is enough and how much is too much? So Julie, how much of the second piece is enough and how much is too much?
Half.
All right, Julie said half of the brown bread of the second slice is enough. Julie is now going to tear apart that second piece of bread. She has two amounts in front of her. She has the amount that she decided was enough a second time around, and she has her marker, the amount that was too much. Julie, I'm going to ask you to pretend to eat the amount that you decided was enough, and all the listeners can eat their second amount that they decided was enough. So let's pretend. But Julie, you may not eat your marker because your marker says, I'm your eat and stop yourself helper because you ate enough. Now, Julie might say, but you know, Sora, I'm sitting out here. The time is passing. I feel like I want some more. Julie picks up that half of the second piece. She asks herself two questions. How much is enough? How much is too much? She separates them. Let's say she says half and half. She puts the marker aside and she eats the amount she decided was enough. The green technique always lets you know how much is enough. Once you decide how much is enough, you push aside the marker, which is too much. That lets you know that there is no deprivation and you're able to stop yourself.
Exactly.
So you can eat chocolate, anything you want, and you use the technique. What happens, Julie? What happens when you can always have enough of something? Do you keep wanting more or do you think you're going to want?
I'm just grateful for enjoying what I'm allowed to have.
Well, okay, what you chose to have. So now here's what happened. You're having enough and you're stopping. You're having enough and you're stopping. You're having enough and you're stopping. What's going to happen is over time, you're going to want less and less and less because you're always having enough. This is the exact opposite of a diet. Right. Diet says don't have the brown bread because it's not on our plan because you can't handle it. You can handle, I'm here to tell your listeners, you can handle any food you want if you use the green technique.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, it already feels, I mean, just even hearing you say it, you know, and I'm still playing in my head with my bread. Even after, to be honest, after the second, you know, the half of the first marker, I thought, you know, I think I just felt good that I'd enjoyed it and that it had been lovely. And I didn't actually need any more. There was no craving. This was lovely and I've enjoyed and I've even had another piece. But it's controlled in a way which is empowering rather than forbidding.
And you know what? I actually love that so much that I'm going to write that down. It's empowering versus forbidding. You've really nailed it. You see, here's the thing. I love management. Okay. So if you have that brown bread, why should the brown bread be in charge? Okay. See, I won't give any food that kind of control. I won't because it's only food. You know, it's a stationary object. It has no, it doesn't cry or scream or, but the reason that you feel happy, Julie, is because you had enough. It's not like, oh, I didn't have bread for 2 weeks and now I'm going to have bread, you know?
Right.
You can eat bread any time of the day, as much as you want, as long as you use a marker. Now, for those people listening, there is another technique that works with this, but that's in the book.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, we won't have time to cover everything here. And I mean, I wanted to ask you because I just love this novel approach of yours. So, you know, yes, we have the book, but, you know, as usual, I ask people to share tips. So, I mean, what tips would you have that we can use now?
So the first thing is, without sounding too didactic, without sounding too school teacher-like, you've got to... But it just comes out. But you need to, if you don't use the technique, this is not going to work. Because if you don't use the technique, Julie, you'll be in pre-program eating, which means nothing is enough. Feelings of deprivation and food will be forbidden. So you have to use the green technique. That's number one.
Yeah.
Okay. That's number one. If you don't use the green technique, then nothing is enough. You can't stop. And you'll always be forbidding food and feeling bad about yourself. So that's number one, two, and three. But some tips I can share with you and give to your listeners are, the first thing is what I say is to keep a neutralized kitchen. And what do I mean by a neutralized kitchen? So I have a rule. Well, I've been at this for decades, but the rule is don't bring any food in the house that at 3 a.m. is going to speak to you and have you in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you know that, like, for example, I know that I keep about 12 Hershey bars in my refrigerator. But I've been doing this for years. So I'm so bored with Hershey bars. So when I get up in the middle of the night, I actually can just have 1/4 of the bar, you know, or I'll have a half a bar. But if I start bringing in tons of candy, I'll be like,
Exactly. So avoid the food that you find hard to avoid, basically.
Yeah. But at the beginning, when you start the program, try not to bring in foods that really upset you, where you know you're going to put your face in it. The second thing that I do, which I recommend, is always put the food that you buy in the same place in your kitchen. I'll explain the philosophy behind this. Because when you do the same thing all the time, what happens, Julie? Is it exciting or boring? Exactly, which is the goal. The goal is become very bored in your emotional relationship with food. So everything that I'm going to give you as far as a tip is concerned desensitizes your emotional attachment to the excitement that comes with the choice to go to the food and put the food in your mouth. So the first thing is nothing that'll get you up at 3 a.m. You order in Chinese food, you eat what you want with the green technique, you go and you throw out the rest. Right. You don't put it back in your refrigerator. I'd rather have it in the garbage than on my thighs. Right. All right. So the second thing is always put your food in the same place. So if you buy the same brand of bread, you always put the bread in the same place. Always put your cookies in the same place. Always put your pretzels in the same place because you want to make the act of going to get that food boring and placement count. Okay. The last thing to make it boring is always buy the same brand, the same packaging, the same brand. So if you're really serious about using my program and really getting your mind calmed down, always like in America, we have Levy's rye bread. So if you're going to buy rye bread, always buy Levy's with the same packaging.
So same idea as in not making it exciting, not making it a new discovery.
Everything I'm going to share is about getting yourself extremely bored. Okay. Because boredom is the knell death of desire. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you want to kill desire, just make it boring. So number one, you don't want anything that's going to get you up at 3 a.m. Number two, always place your food up in each category in the same place. And number three, always buy the same brand. Now you have a boring, neutralized kitchen that you're going to learn to make peace with as long as you use the techniques. Right. That's okay. So that's the first. The second is, I need more boring, more boring, more boring. So always sit in the same place when you eat. Okay. Why, Sora? Because that's going to allow you to concentrate on using the techniques as opposed to the different variations of seating. Right. Always use the same plate, napkin, fork, and knife and cup, because that lets you get bored with the utensils, but concentrate on how much is enough, how much is too much, right. Not, oh, this is pretty orange napkin. Okay. And the last two tips that I'd like to share with you and your listeners are, I love to routinize my day. I work well in structure. Right. So every day before, I have a weekly plan that I set up over the weekend. And then every day before I go to bed, doesn't matter what, I set up the plan for the next day, period. So here's the way I plan it. I divide my day into three parts. You know, I told you I'm a big tracker. There's the morning, there's the afternoon, and there's the evening. And what I do is I make a day. I design a day.
Right.
And so just to add a little more depth to the day business, you see, when you overeat, what you're doing is there's an over-reliance on the act of chewing for the control. All right. So what this program will let you do is by diminishing the amount of times you think about food a day, which you will by having enough, you will actually transfer yourself into doing more, because right. that'll become more exciting.
Right.
So my paper is set up that way. On the left, I have what I do. And on the right, I have what I chew. Because actually, when you think about it, there's only two kinds of thoughts you can have in this life, in this world, no matter what country you live in. I got it down to two types of thoughts. The first is a food thought. All right. And the second is a non-food thought. Now, a food thought, you have to chew, okay? And a non-food thought, you don't chew. So the deal is you want to minimize the number of chew thoughts and maximize your number of do thoughts for the most exciting life.
Right.
Because as long as you chew more than you do and you obsess about a weight problem, that's when you're not fully actualized as a do more than chew person.
I love the way you say it with chew. So basically, so it's do more than you chew, right?
Right. So what everyone has to find is their chew balance, so they have the most exciting do life.
We're so busy that we just automatically put stuff in our mouths and we don't even realize half of the time.
Okay. So that's one of the last points I wanted to share with you and your listeners is, I write down everything for decades, what I have. I mean, now it's just a jot and a jot, but I did intensive journaling. And so you make very good points, Julie. And what you just said is very interesting to me. Here's the deal, as they say in Brooklyn. Here's the deal. You must commit to getting better. If you don't commit to getting better, you're not going to get better. It's like, this is not rocket science. If you tell me you really want to get a grip on food and lose weight and get healthy and make peace with food, and you don't track what you eat, you're not really committed.
Right.
But your mouth is the vehicle that chews.
Yeah.
You have to do it each time you put food in your mouth.
So that we carry around with ourselves and a promise to ourselves that we're worth committing to doing this, like you said before.
You know what? You just put the cherry on the cake. I think everybody listening has to ask themselves, when it's like Tony Robbins said, at the end of your life, you're in the rocking chair. You have to take the rocking chair test. What did I want to do that I didn't do?
Right.
And that's what I say to your listeners. If you're really serious, and I mean really serious, if you're really serious once and for all of letting your weight problem go and not feeling controlled by it and learning to manage food, you must write it down. Stop when you want a no diet weight loss program. And you can get it at Amazon or Barnes & Nobles or at my website, which is www.nodieting.net.
Oh, that sounds so good. I want to try this. When you walked me through it, it felt good.
The reason you're feeling good is because viscerally, you know that you manage the food.
Yeah. And isn't that liberating?
Well, I'm all about freedom.
Sora, I thank you very much. I'm absolutely delighted to have heard, you know, my speaker from Brooklyn. You are wonderful. Thank you for those tips. There's an awful lot of food for thought. But for now, we shall follow you on your website and get hold of that book. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Julie.
You're most welcome. Right. Now, for the rest of you out there, Sora has shared a lot of tips with us. And as always, my question to you is, what are you going to take out of what we've just heard today about living an empowering life where you're feeling happy and at ease and in flow with your body? What did you learn? What are you going to change, more importantly, because learning is great, but if we don't actually take action on it, we're not going to get very far. And when are you going to start? Thank you for being with us today, and I look forward to having you on another episode. Bye-bye, everyone. Thank you for listening. Now it is up to you to make it happen. Join me next week for another dose of empowering vitamins as we navigate the marvelous roller coaster we call life. Subscribe and let me know what you think we should be talking about. Take care out there.